on purpose. I appreciate those who can play instruments, and I appreciate those who can sing, because I can do neither. And so what a blessing it is that people have been gifted by God to do those things, to be a blessing, and to minister to other people. See, I truly believe that God has gifted every believer for ministry. God didn't save our souls simply to give us a fire suit so that we can go to heaven one day and not go to hell. God didn't save our souls simply that we can exist and then die and then just go to heaven. I firmly believe that God does everything on purpose for a reason, exactly for His honor and His glory. I don't believe in accidental things with God. I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in happenstance. I believe that God controls and God puts people in places and opens up opportunities every single moment of every single day. Now, there's been a controversy through the years, and it's raising its head up again, that there is no free will in man. That God does not allow us to choose anything. Let me tell you, and I can't quite explain exactly how it works, but I believe God's in control of all things at all times. Amen? And I believe that there, in election, I believe in predestination. I believe in those scriptures, and we're going to see that a little bit this morning. But I also believe that God allows man to have free will. God allows man to choose. God allows that gift of choosing with human beings. There's a lot of people this morning that chose not to be here. They chose to do other things. God gives us that conscious choice. But I believe that God calls every single person to salvation. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's a clear calling. But I also believe that not everybody will be saved. I'm not universal. I don't believe that everybody's going to go to heaven. It's impossible. It's not going to happen, because we see it over and over and over in Scripture. But I believe the call is there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The world and whosoever. So I believe the call goes out to every single human being, but I also believe that not every single human being answers that call. The call is there. The Holy Spirit draws us to salvation, but man chooses not to answer that call. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you answered the Holy Spirit's call on your heart? Has God spoken to you and drawn you towards salvation and you said yes? Or have you been so stubborn and so willful that you've said no, not now, not yet, but maybe perhaps someday? May I tell you, if that's how you think, today is that day. Today is that day that you can repent of your sins. Today is that day that you can call upon Jesus Christ to save your soul. Today is the day of salvation. So you can either do that or you can say no. You can choose. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But what did he say about that before? Today he says, "Choose whom you will serve." There were two thieves, terrorists, on that cross that Jesus died. He was in the middle, and there was two others. One chose, one did not choose. Will you be the one that chooses today? Or will you be the one that says, no, I'm not interested? You say, well, Brother Brian, what has brought this on? Let me show you here in Acts chapter number 9. The Apostle Paul, we don't know him as the Apostle Paul yet, we know him as Saul the terrorist here. And he is on his way to Damascus, and he is on his way to arrest. Now, Damascus was not just an hour journey from Jerusalem, it was quite a few days to get there. Paul or Saul was intentionally going to Damascus. He hated those who knew Jesus Christ. He hated Christians. He hated those who were of the way. And so now he was on a journey to go to Damascus to intentionally arrest them, intentionally kill them, and trying to stamp out the way. So as he was journeying there, he has an encounter with Jesus Christ himself. Here in chapter number 9, verse number 4, it says, "And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said," Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." He says, listen, aren't you tired of being convicted? Aren't you tired of knowing the truth? The pricks, talk about the pricks as the goading. And he, trembling, talking about Saul, he was astonished and he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said, "Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." You can tell right there that Saul is under great conviction, and you can tell that Saul knows God right then and there. He knows who he's been persecuting. He knows who's speaking to him. He knows that the Spirit is drawing him. And the first question he asks is, says, "What do you want me to do about it?" Let me ask you a question. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart this morning, and he's speaking, he says, "Are you tired of being convicted?" What's your answer going to be? Leave me alone? Or is it going to be, "Lord, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do today?" Now, he may not call you to go to Africa. He may not call you to go to Venezuela. He may not even call you to go to Mexico. But you can do something somewhere for Jesus Christ. You can do something in your home. You can do something in your school. You can do something in your church. You can do something in your city. But for goodness, folks, do something for Jesus. That's a good name, a word, but goodness. That's a good one. I like that one. But goodness, do something. Verse number 7. "And the men which journeyed with him, they stood speechless, and they heard a voice, but they couldn't see anybody. They were seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and his eyes were opened. He saw no man, and they led him by his hand, brought him to Damascus," the very city that he was going to persecute. Now he enters blind. Can you imagine? A man that is self-reliant, a man that is wanting to kill and maim and destroy, is now helpless as a babe. He's got to let other people lead him. Verse number 10, or verse number 9, "And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And Ananias said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." Ananias evidently is praying. Ananias is doing some kind of meditation on the Lord, on God's word. And all of a sudden the Lord appears to him and says, "Listen, Ananias, I want you to go find Saul. And this is where you're going to find Saul. And I want you to do what I'm telling you to do." And he says, "And by the way, I've already prepared the way for you. Even before you get there, I'm going to tell Saul that you're coming." See, I believe God orchestrates, and I believe God gets things together the way it ought to be. And I believe he prepares the way for us. Verse number 13. "Ananias answered, and he said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." Now, I don't believe that Ananias is arguing with God. I believe he's saying, "God, are you sure? Is this really what you want me to do? Do you want me to go and see this terrorist? You're telling me to go and talk to this fellow who wants to kill me. You're telling me to go and have an encounter with this guy who's been looking for my head. You want me to go see him. How many of you know, when I say the word ISIS, how many know what I'm talking about? Let's say that we find out that one of the ISIS leaders is in Bryson City, North Carolina. And his goal was to come to Bryson City, North Carolina, and destroy the churches. He had, in his house, he had bomb-making materials. He had AK-47s, and he had a bunch of underground situations ready. And that he was going to start planting bombs at churches and blowing them up. And then God speaks to you in a dream, in a vision, and says, I want you to go to this specific house and talk to this specific ISIS leader. How many of you would be thrilled to death? How many of you would be scared? My first question would be, what did I eat last night and why am I seeing this? Honestly, come on, now be honest this morning. I'd be saying, God, is this really you speaking to me? Because the Bible says, try the spirits. And so I would say, okay, like Ananias, God, this leader, this ISIS guy, he don't mess around. He kills people. Matter of fact, I heard that he's here to destroy us. And now you want me to go to his house and talk to him. It'd be a scary, scary thing. And that's what Ananias is thinking. He says, God, this fellow's come to kill me. And you want me to go talk to him? What's impossible in your mind this morning with God? What's impossible that you're facing today? How many of you agree that God can do the impossible? How many of you really agree that God can do the impossible? Well, I believe he can do the impossible, Brian, except for this. Let me ask you another question. How many of you agree that God is in total control? Okay. Well, Brother Brian, except for... Look what how God answers Ananias here. But the Lord said unto Ananias, verse number 15, go thy way. Why? For he, Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me. And he is going to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He says, it's time for Saul. I have chosen him. He's a chosen vessel. That word vessel is talking about a piece of pottery, a container that is used for a specific purpose. As the potter is making that on the wheel, as a cup or as a bowl or as a candlestick holder, it doesn't matter. As the potter is shaping it, it becomes what the potter intends for it to do. You are a vessel this morning. God has saved your soul, and he has shaped you, and he's continuing to shape you into some form to be used of him. Some of you are candlestick holders. Some of you are bowls. Some of you are cups. But may I share with you, every single one of us are cracked. Every single one of us are imperfect. We have a chip missing, perhaps. Maybe we're discolored. Maybe we've got some kind of a flaw inside of us. But guess what? We are all vessels of God when we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're intentionally made by him for a reason. How many of you are married to a crackpot? My wife is. She's got her hand waving a hanky. I second that emotion. Some of you guys are too crazy or too scared to admit it. That's okay. Yeah, you want lunch. There you go. Amen. We all have our issues of life. But here's the situation. He says, I have chosen Paul. I have chosen him. I have saved him, and I have chosen him specifically. And he says, he's going to suffer great things for me. And he says, a matter of fact, I'm going to reveal those things to him. But he is a chosen vessel. Now, I've said this several times before, and I'm trying to help us to understand. God chooses us. He picks us out. Either God has wasted his blood by choosing us, or his blood means something. I love that song, Brother Allen. Where the blood fell, sin died. Where the blood fell, something grows for honor and glory to God. Look at me, brothers and sisters. What kind of vessel are you today? What are you doing with what God's given to you? Are you carrying the light? Are you carrying the message? Are you doing something for God? Are you just a vessel that's up on the counter right there? It's saved and it's okay, it's preserved, but it ain't doing no good. It's doing nothing sitting up there. There's an old saying, and I don't believe in this old saying. My wife believes in this saying, that if you don't use something within a year, you ought to get rid of it. All right? I don't believe in it. It's not in the Bible, so it's not there. Exactly. But the old saying, if you don't use it in a year, sell it, dump it, get rid of it, give it away. If that was the case with God, how many of us would be part of that? How many of us would be part of that not being used? See, the thing is, there's nothing that God cannot use. There's nobody God cannot use. He didn't save you just simply to exist. He saved you to be used for his honor. Well, Brother Brian, I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to do it. How? Listen, he's given us his word. He's given us the prayer. He's given us all these things. Be used. I'm sure that when Ananias heard that Saul had been saved, that Saul was going to be used of God, I'm sure that Ananias said, no way. But look what he says here. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Brothers and sisters, you may not be chosen to bear the name of Jesus to kings. You may not be chosen this morning to bear the name of Christ before Israel. You may not be chosen specifically to go to Gentiles, but you've been chosen to do something for Jesus Christ. I didn't hear many amens there. Let me try it again. You've been chosen to do something for Jesus Christ. And those in the back row said, there you go. You've been chosen. But let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. Are you doing it? Are you completely satisfied in what you're doing? I have chosen him. But you know, I firmly believe why we don't do what God has called us to do. Because look at the next verse, 16. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. We're scared to suffer. We are scared that something bad's going to happen to us if we surrender to God. We are scared that we're going to lose friends. We're scared that we're going to lose money. We're scared that we're going to lose status. We're afraid that something's going to happen to us that we're not going to like. And so therefore, we don't want to serve God. We don't want to be that chosen vessel because we don't want to lose anything. But remember last week I said this. In order to live, you got to lose. In order to gain, you got to give up something. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Brothers and sisters, serving Jesus will cost you, but you'll gain more than you lose. I guarantee it. Serving Jesus has cost me friendships. Serving Jesus has cost me job opportunities. Serving Jesus has even cost me family members mocking me. But I have gained eternal life. I have gained friends and family that I'll never lose. I have gained more than I can ever fathom. I have gained the Creator of the universe living inside of me because I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm glad and thankful that I'm a chosen vessel. What about you? Are you afraid to serve because you're going to suffer? Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 37 real quick. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. This entire psalm is talking about God taking care of His own. Let me show you in verse number 23. Psalm 37, verse 23. The Bible says, "The steps of a good man." Now that word good does not mean that it's you're a good boy. That means somebody who belongs to God. A righteous man. Someone who's righteous in God's sight. Not through their own effort, but through the blood of Jesus Christ. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Now, listen to me for a minute. If God saves you and God's in control of your life, don't you think God's going to guide you and direct you in the way you ought to go? Do you think God's going to save you and say, okay, you're on your own now? Those animal rescues that take place, they save them and they bring these animals back to life and they help them and they nurse them and then they release them back into the wild? God doesn't do that with us. God doesn't save you and then say, okay, I'm going to release you back into the world on your own. Bye-bye. He says, no, I'm going to walk with you in the world. I'm going to be with you every moment of every day. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to let you get away from me. They put those GPS trackers on them. And then they watch as the animal flies here and goes there and swims there and everything else, and they can track them. But they're not with them every single day. They can't keep them from problems. But you know what? I have a better GPS tracker. I've got the Holy Spirit living inside of me. So it says right here, it says, the steps, the ways, the lifestyle of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. God takes care of it for me. He guides my steps. He directs what I do. He knows where I'm going. He's taking care of me. How about you? Do you have the same God I do? Come on now, do you have the same God I do? Does God love me more than you? No. Then why in the world? Why in the world then are we afraid? If your God cannot take care of you, your God is too small. If your God can't handle your problems, He ain't worth serving. If your God leaves you at any time, you get rid of Him. My God takes care of me. My God directs my paths. My God is in control of my life. What about your God? And then he says in verse number 24, verse 23, he says, ordered by the Lord. And then he says, He delighteth in His way. I'm glad God's in control. I'm glad God directs me. I'm glad God knows all about those things. When I first got saved, I had no idea that I would be in Bryson City, North Carolina in 2018. No idea. Matter of fact, when I first got saved, if God had revealed that to me, I'd have said, no, thank you. Because I was backward. Even though I'd been in the military for several years, I was still backwards and scared to death. I couldn't get in front of people and talk. And for me to stand before people and even say anything, I'd have said, no thanks. But God has ordered my steps all along the way. He didn't tell me everything He's going to do right off the bat, but He simply said, trust in me, and I will direct your paths. So let me ask you, am I any different than you? Does God love me more than you? No. Brothers and sisters, God loves you. He'll never stop. Never. And then it says, verse 24, underline this because some of you need this morning. Though he fall. Have any of you fallen lately? I'm the only one. And I'm not talking about physically fallen. How many of you have ever fallen from the things of God? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. You know, my biggest fear is not being killed. My biggest fear is being cast away and not being used of God anymore. That's my biggest fear. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his arm. God does it. You don't hold yourself. You can't lose yourself. If God's got you, He's got you. And there's not a thing you can do about it. Amen and amen. So let me sum this up for you this morning. God's in control. God's call is to everybody to be saved. Not everybody's going to call and heed that call, but there are people who do that call, and they heed it, and they come to Jesus Christ for salvation. Those of us who have heeded that call, and those of us who love Jesus Christ and have been saved, God has directed our paths. He's created us as vessels to be used for His honor and glory. Some have decided to be sat on the shelf and left alone. Some of us are wanting to burn bright for God. But God has got a mission for every one of us. It involves being suffering at times. It involves giving up things at times. But it's God that does the directing. It's God that does the taking care of. It's God that does the providing. So, what kind of vessel are you? And are you being used for God where you should be used? Oh, and a great thing you've not heard me mention, the age doesn't matter. There may be some dust on the vessel. But guess what? It don't make it any less useful. It may be a brand new vessel. Ooh, that smells good. How many of you love that new car smell? That may be the kind of vessel you are. It's still usable. It's got some cracks in it. Maybe some discoloration. Maybe a chip or two out of it. But guess what? It's still usable. Now, I'd be foolish to assume that everybody in this room is saved. I'd be foolish to assume that everybody in this room knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let me invite you today. Come trust Jesus Christ today. Come and become one of His vessels. He's waiting. He's calling you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, saying, time to come. Now, those of you who are vessels, those of you who have been called, and those of you who have responded to the call of the Holy Spirit, and you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, I'd be foolish to assume that you're really being used of God today. That you're really allowing your vessel to be used. Today's the day where you finally surrender and say, okay, God, use me. And whatever you want me to do, God, I want to be used. That's what I prayed when I first got saved. I said, God, I don't know how you're going to use me. I don't know what you want me to do, but God, use me. You know what the greatest ability is? Not to be able to slam dunk a basketball, not to be able to throw a touchdown, not be able to hit a home run. The greatest ability that God will use is availability. Are you available today? Are you available? Now we're going to learn more about Saul and how God uses him. Not everybody can be Saul. But look at me, brothers and sisters. Not everybody can be you either. You have a unique ability that God needs. Will you use it for His honor and glory today? Well, Brother Brian, nobody else is. What about those people who won't come? And what about those people who won't serve? Guess what? God's not concerned about that. He's concerned about you. He's concerned about me. I don't give an answer for them. I give an answer for me. So do you. Amen? Let's all stand together this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Now please, please, do not turn the Holy Spirit off. At this very moment, God is speaking to hearts. I can see it. And maybe Jesus Christ can become your Savior today because He's been calling you. I'm inviting you to come right now. Even before the music comes, I invite you to come right now. We'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Maybe perhaps He's spoken to you and you want to come surrender to the Lord and say, God, I want to be used, whatever you want me to do. Come this morning. Come and surrender today. Maybe there's something else going on that you need to pray about. But brothers and sisters, now's the time. Now's the time. Brother Dan's going to sing in just a second. I'm going to ask you to come. Step right out and come. I'll pray with you if you want. Just let me know. But if not, come pray. Won't you come this morning? Quit putting it off. What a day to be saved. What a day to surrender. Won't you come this morning? God loves you. He's not wasted anything. How about it? Come on. Don't put it off.